Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu.
Well, USDA released the August crop production report Friday morning, and corn dropped 7 cents for the day. We'll explore why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Persaki, the crops branch chief at the National Agricultural Statistics Service in Washington, D.C. Our panelists today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting on August 16th at 6 p.m. at the University Inn in West Lafayette, Indiana. Registration required since seating is limited. More details at 866-837-9027.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. We had an interesting conversation Friday afternoon with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Now, the center's been running a very accurate crop production model for several years. And as of Friday afternoon, it is predicting the corn yield in the state of Illinois will be 140. Let me repeat that, 140 bushels to the acre. USDA said 125 in Friday's crop production report, and many analysts are saying much lower, say 115, 105. The question is not who's closer to right, but rather, with the good rains forecast in the Midwest, could fill be better than expected by the time we get to harvest, and what might that mean to the marketplace? We'll start with you, Clayton Pope.
Yeah, I think it could, although I don't think that we're going to see that much variability in the corn yield at this point. I mean, certainly in the beans it's a probability, but as far as the corn goes, there's a lot of doubting Thomases regarding Friday's number at 125. Most people seem to think that's erring on the high side, but when you talk about your model here, that's even higher than that considerably, and I think it's just sort of the other side of the coin, and when all is said and done, that 125 might not be too far off the final mark.
Clayton Pope is with Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign. Matt Bennett of Windsor Grain.
Well, you know, we were talking before the show, and we don't have any corn in the excellent category. You know, we have 12%, I guess, in the good. But, you know, I think 140 has got to be plenty high. Anybody you talk to in the state of Illinois, for the most part, is pretty down about their corn crop. I think, yeah, you have good weather from here on out, you got a chance to maybe make a bean crop. But corn-wise, it's getting pretty well too late. We might add some weight, and that'd be about it.
And Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities?
Well, that's the thing, that the 140 I think is high, but, you know, I don't really know. The 125 I still think's high. I think the test weight is going to be a real big factor. And these rains, where we're getting them, where are we getting them? Or is everybody getting them? I mean, I think it's pretty well too far gone for the corn.
Darrell Good told us Friday that he believes beans should likely be marketed and corn sold, or stored, rather. Would you agree?
I would agree with storing the corn totally, thinking that we could have a big bounce on it. On the beans, I'd probably store those also because of the worldwide and USDA carryout numbers. Two bushel less on beans, and we're at all-time record carryout numbers.
And Dave Dickey tells me Chris Hurt and Darrell both told producers at AM580's Ag Panel in Palestine Thursday evening that a corn LDP would be in the offing this fall, maybe as much as, say, 25 cents. I think, Matt, because you're at the elevator, why don't you take that one?
Well, we've had quite a few guys asking us in the last few weeks, you know, if we're going to go ahead and run this corn market down, why not go ahead and sell corn for $2.20? You know, 225, even down to 215 fall delivery if we think we can get an LDP. You know, there's been people that have given them that indication we could get one. Last year, I think we got up to, what, 36, 37. I don't think there's any way we're going to get something like that. But when you look at the weakness in the corn market here of late, I think that an LDP right in the glut of harvest is I think, a certainty. As far as how much, it's pretty tough to predict at this point.
Here's the way the numbers from USDA came across at 7:30 Friday morning for the crop production report. Corn now pegged at 10.35 billion bushels. Soybeans at 2791, all wheat at 2.167 billion. The old crop estimate for a carryout at 2.11 billion bushels for corn, that's left in the bin this fall, and 300 million bushels for soybeans. And the new crop carryout for corn at 1.9 for soybeans at 180 million bushels. And there were a few other numbers in there, including a bunch of numbers about production across the nation. I do have, or across the globe. I've got a question about that. The Chinese corn crop is up to 130 million metric tons. That's a bit more than 5 billion bushels and a very large crop, the second largest in the world. Last week, some on this show said the Chinese would need to buy corn. A 5 billion bushel crop would be up significantly for that nation. I want to say, but I don't have the number in front of me, that China's largest previous estimated crop, and I don't think this was harvested, but rather the early season number, may be closer to 4.5 billion in the past. Nonetheless, there's a large crop in China. Do they take a share of the Asian market simply by proximity?
I certainly think so. A number that large, I mean, they've been conspicuously absent from our export market, unfortunately, both in the corn and the beans, and corn for some time now. And I think when they get a big number like that, it just kind of makes it even less likely that they're about to step up to the plate and be a big buyer from us. And no question, I think they're going to be taking a little bit of market share. However, I don't think that a lot of that production is probably going to be available for export because, I mean, their own internal needs are growing so fast. And the bottom line is the world carryover of coarse grain on a relative basis, like a stocks-to-usage ratio or number of days usage in the carryover, I mean, it's extremely tight. If you take the U.S. carryover out of the picture, there just aren't many extra bushels to be had out there outside of the U.S. So long-term, I think that's probably very supportive because if the world in general needs very much quantity-wise, they're about going to have to come to us.
On the Chicago Board of Trade, futures finished like this in the grains Friday afternoon. Wheat, September, the high 332, the low at 317 and a half, a settlement price at 321 and a quarter. It was up a penny and a quarter from last Friday's settlement. The December contract at 335 and three quarters, down a quarter. SEP oats settled at 153 and three quarters. They were off a penny and a half. And the September corn had a high this week of $2.27, the low at 217 and a half. SEPs settled at 217 and three quarters. They were down 2 3/4. And December corn at 231 was off 3 1/2, but that market was off more than 7 cents on Friday afternoon. Was that all simply reaction to USDA's report, or was there something more at work there?
I think the USDA report being bigger than expected, plus the carryout being bigger than expected, was part of it. But we've got an awful lot of corn still out there that hasn't been delivered yet, and that's, I think, also weighing on the market.
All right, let's take a poll of all three of you. USDA, I believe, says the average cash price across the nation this year for corn will be $2 a bushel. What do you think? Are they high, low? Are they close to what the estimate should be?
I think they're a little low. I'm just more optimistic than that.
I would agree with Pete.
I would guess probably not too far off. I mean, but an average for the whole year, that's such a long-term average. I don't really know how meaningful it is, but I can't really argue with the number.
All right, in this week's crop production bulletin from the University of Illinois, agronomist Emerson Nafziger pointed out if there's a slight positive in the corn crop development estimates, it's that kernel stages are not greatly different from what accumulated growing degree days would predict. Now, under various certain drought conditions, kernel development tends to accelerate as the crop runs out of water. And the fact, he says, that this is not happening widely across the state indicates the crop is still alive and still filling kernels, even if it's at a slower than normal rate due to the lack of water. I guess this goes back to the Illinois, Indiana, Missouri yields. Could the new hybrids have fooled everybody and be that much better under drought conditions?
I think they are better under drought conditions, but I still think that they're not going to add that much weight from here on out.
What do your crops look like in the field?
I've been out in, you know, some of our fields, and the kernel depth is simply not there in many places. You know, on the good, really good fertile ground where we've had some water, yeah, we've got a little bit of kernel depth. But I don't know, on the light ground, I don't agree. I don't think that the crop is alive and well. I think that it's done, and there's going to be corn, like I said before the show, maybe harvested before Labor Day.
And there are more acres this year in corn, probably more double crop corn acres than there have been, not double crop, but year in, year after year corn. And you've got some views on that one as well.
Well, yeah, you talk to most agronomists, and they say any year where you have stress, the corn on corn is going to suffer quite a bit more. You know, a lot of people have talked in the past about a 20% yield reduction with corn on corn. Well, last year, you know, in a good rain year, we had some of the corn on corn out yielded the corn on beans, and I think that people are thinking, well, hybrids have changed enough. It's got a whole lot more to do with environment, I think, than just hybrids, and I think, you know, the lack of rain this year is going to hurt the corn on corn quite a bit more than what people are expecting.
Everybody agree that the high for corn is in before harvest now, and that there won't be another high before harvest? Everybody shakes their head. Yes,
so.
Yeah. Everybody's there with yes. So, what's the low during harvest, and we'll pull you all the way across? And when might it come, Clayton Pope?
I would think we could put in a relatively early low, just because if let's just say, for example, we get the rains this weekend that were predicted as of Friday. I think it's probably going to give the green light to some pretty aggressive fund liquidation in the next week. And corn is still held a lot by the funds at this point. That being the case, I think as they exit from those long positions, we could drive this stuff down. I wouldn't be surprised to see corn drop another 20 cents in the next month or so. But beyond that, I can't get real bullish off these numbers. You know, everybody wants to put a bullish spin on it, I think, because they carry over down to 1.9 and so forth. But I'm afraid that we've got a pretty good lid above this market, and the potential good long-term tightness might tend to put a little higher floor on it than we were looking at before, but I'm afraid we're going to do a drift lower here.
Well, as far as what I think about the corn market, I'd say I'd want to LDP my crop fairly early in the fall. I think that we'll be looking at an early low. I'm in the camp that we're going to probably drop this estimate, you know, under 10 for the September report. May not be right, but I guess a lot of people are saying that. We're saying this morning, hey, guys are already talking about the fact that number is too high. So, you know, I was surprised to see corn so weak today.
I think we could see another dime off the corn. I think we'll have an early low. I'm looking for a low in the next 2 weeks, actually. I think we'll see a lot of early harvest earlier than normal in some of the areas where the corn has been the shucks are brown and it's been hanging for a week. And I think that stuff is pretty well done. But another dime down, it would fill one of the gaps that technical people are looking for. And I think there's all kinds of people similar to 96 have been waiting and waiting to buy. I think once we go a little lower, there will be all kind of people ready to buy to fill what their needs are.
There have been a number of people thinking that Decatur in Illinois will have to really start the cash basis bid prices and bidding that up. Is there enough corn to be railed out of Iowa that won't happen?
Where's there a rail in Iowa? No, I think you could have some truck to the river from Iowa, because there is a lot of corn still in Iowa and Minnesota.
Anybody else have an argument with that or want to speak to it?
Well, I think we're still going to have pockets of areas where the basis is going to be very strong on a historical perspective. But on the other hand, I mean, a carryover 1.9, I mean, there's going to be a lot of logistics problems moving the stuff around where it's needed the most, I guess. But that's still a lot of corn, and I don't see the need for too many users to be bidding up very much for this stuff, flat price-wise or basis-wise.
One other question on the grain before we get to the oil seeds. Some of our analysts believe wheat will be the catalyst to bring corn out of the pits. How you view that crop?
Well, it's not as good as expected here, but worldwide it's adequate. But I still think we could move it back up 20, 30 cents, and that could help drag the corn a little bit.
Soy complex now. August soybean, 672 on the high, the low at 634. August beans settled at 643. They were off 15.5 cents from last week. November beans at 648. They were down 21. Any reason to believe at all that there will be a 5 in front of that number at some point?
There could be. I mean, if this 647 that we were talking about this last week doesn't hold, we could be right back to $6 area. So that's a possibility, especially if we get rains this weekend that are heavy enough to make people think that that will help the soybean crop.
Price your beans?
Yeah, I guess I would agree with Pete. It's a possibility. It's awfully tough to think that we're going to get under 6 just yet. I mean, we've still got quite a bit of weather to get through in the month of August, but You know, I've heard some people saying, well, even if we end up with not so big a carryout, what's the chances that South America is going to have three bad years in a row? You know, of course, everybody last year was saying, what's the chance they're going to have two bad years in a row? And they did. So I guess they could have three bad years in a row, but the chances are probably getting a little smaller that they will. So I'm guessing a lot of people are planning on a decent crop coming out of South America and that the worldwide supply will be at least adequate.
USDA says 180 million bushels for carryout and 62 million metric tons for the Brazilian bean crop. Are you as pessimistic the beans as you might be neutral to pessimistic to the corn?
I really think this weekend is probably the single most important weekend we've faced in this growing season as far as whether the needed rains come or not. If we do get general coverage, like Pete said a second ago, let's say we have 75% coverage this weekend of 3/4 of an inch or an inch, something along those lines, then yeah, I do think we'll have a five in front of it. And I don't think we're going to go down to low fives, but I certainly think we could drop 75 cents from where we are by harvest. The problem is the world carryover is just still staggeringly large. And the USDA kind of cut us off at the knees on Friday. We got a relatively friendly yield number, but shoot, they took 59 million bushels off the demand, and that's going to be awful hard to recover.
And we'll have to ask Joe Persaki just exactly why that was. And in those national numbers, he'll be able to address that issue, I'm quite certain. So what else is happening in the bean market that we need to make sure we cover today? Is there something that you've seen or heard from your producers about this market and what's in their fields or what usage might be like that really trips your trigger?
On the production end, guys are talking about the pods that are dropping on the early varieties and that they're saying that the rain, if we get enough of it, will help the later varieties, but a lot of the guys are talking about the early varieties. You know, they've dropped enough pods that even if it does rain, it won't recover the pods that they've dropped.
And with the beans, we're always faced now with Brazil and Argentina, as you discussed just a bit, on a 6-month rotation. And I'm not. Have you gotten used to, as a broker, I suppose, having that second crop come on that's as large as what's coming out of the United States from South America? And how long has it taken you to adjust to that? And are your farmers along with you, or do you have to pull them through the needle on that one?
I think, I don't know about the other fellows with us here today, but it has been a big adjustment just the last couple of years because the South American production has just grown, you know, overnight in relative importance. And I think the biggest thing that pops up in my mind is the whole spread structure. I mean, I've always been used to looking at like the Nov to the following July as far as the crop year spread structure goes. But now all of a sudden it's almost sort of two-tiered. You've got the Nov to March spread like last year, which still managed to have like a carry or whatever. And then that March-July segment was this huge inverse. So it's definitely a learning experience, and it's a real dynamic marketplace where I think those are huge changes.
One thing I think we should talk about South America is that their acreage is not growing like it was, and in fact, in places, they might not plant quite as few many acres as beans.
I did ask somebody about that just a bit and wanted to know how it was that they would be able to just lay them out because they don't really have another crop to put in. You can't put corn in because it's simply too hot and they're too far, too close to the equator. And the suggestion I heard was that, well, the rental acres that they have, they'll just not put into crop production at all, so they'll be using, and I don't know that anybody has an idea what's owned and what's rented down there, frankly.
Well, I think they're looking at cost and profit just like we are here, and with the oil and all the energy prices where they're at, what are the costs going to be next year associated or this fall with planting whatever you plant? And I think that's going to have a big factor on what gets planted also.
Mercantile exchange number, live cattle, August contract high this week, $80.90. The low at $78.70. Settlement price down $1.50 at $79.07.5. The August feeder cattle at $109.27.5 are down $1.12.5. Lean hogs, August contract $70.22.5. The high, the low at $69.10. And the settlement price there at 70 cents lower, $69.40 for the August lean hog contract. The bellies at $69.25. We're down 70 cents from last week. Anything in the mercantile exchange that we need to discuss for those who have either cattle or hogs on their farms and how they go about setting themselves up for feed needs this year?
Well, right now there's no reason to book any feed needs ahead right now until we get into harvest a ways. But if we get into harvest and see new lows, I'd be looking to book some feeds then.
We'll talk with Joe Persaki in 2 minutes.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an agricultural outlook meeting on August 16th at 6 p.m. at the University Inn in West Lafayette, Indiana. Registration required since seating is limited. More details at 866-837-9027.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. This second week of August was generally hazy, hot, and humid across Illinois. The first half of the week featured only a few scattered thunderstorms, generally in the central and southern portions of the state. The weather got more promising the last half of the week. Temperatures this week averaged 3 to 5 degrees above normal throughout Illinois. Maximum temperatures reached the upper 80s and low 90s on most days, but the mercury pushed into the mid and upper 90s in southern Illinois on Wednesday ahead of a cold front. There was a general lack of rain across the state the first half of the week. However, a weak cold front sagging south through the Midwest provided a trigger for showers and thunderstorms, producing scattered storms central and south on Wednesday, and then more widespread rain across northern Illinois on Thursday. With the front oscillating across Illinois, chances for significant rain in the worst drought areas was better than it had been for some time. It appears that prospects for significant rain across Illinois will remain good through the first half of next week. The weather should be more settled from that point until the weekend, when it looks like chances for rain will again increase. Temperatures should remain at near to warmer than normal levels for most of this next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois. Our guest is Joe Persaki, and he's the chief of the crops branch at the National Agricultural Statistics Service, which puts out USDA's monthly crop production report. Joe's been with NAS since 1984. He's a DuCoin, Illinois native, and he grew up on a southern Illinois farm. He holds an MS in Ag Econ from Southern Illinois and a Master's in Statistics from Purdue. Joe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. How are you doing this afternoon, guys?
We are doing very well. Let's start with this question. How did you evaluate kernel weights and size for this report, and might that be skewed to the heavy side based on a rolling five-year average?
Okay, you're exactly right, Todd. In August, and as you guys know, it's real tough for us to get a real kernel weight value, so there is a lot of five-year modeling going on. However, the thing to remember, that in addition to just using a five-year model, we do look at, you know, comparisons between what the, you know, what we're getting from the forecast back to the final. So then, you know, there's adjustments then made from the five-year average.
So, and did you take ear samples everywhere or that you took samples? This was all over the nation where you took samples?
Right, we had objective yield samples, but it's early. But if you think about it, the way our objective yield program works, we have samples placed in the fields, and based on the maturity of the crop, it depends on if we take samples or not. And in some parts of the country, you know, the crop wasn't far enough along to take samples. It's still, you know, in the milk stage and just in the pre-den stage in some places.
You know, a lot of people talk about, well, the report was at the start of the month. You know, we've had 10 or 12 days. A lot of people, I guess I heard today, were saying, well, that number is going to come down the next month. I guess what would be your opinion on that statement?
Well, the first part is correct. You have to remember this is based as of August 1. And so we had people in the field just slightly before August 1 working through the first two, you know, through about the fifth or sixth of the month. Now we're about 7 days later than that. Now, as for next month, I can't tell you right now, but we will have people in the field at the end of August. And as you guys have mentioned, it looks like there could be some harvesting of corn in some parts. So we'll actually be getting real field weights coming into some of our models in at the end of the month for next month for the September forecast.
So briefly, what exactly additional tests will be done the next month that were not done this month?
Okay, if I can find my document here, the thing to it. When we run our objective yield models, it's based on the maturity category of the crop. Now, early on, when we have very immature crops, say if it's in the pre-blister, blister stage, milk stage, basically for ear weights, we're looking at five-year average in the, up to the pre-blister category. And then once we get in the blister and milk stage, dough stage, we look at what's called the kernel row length. You know, you measure the length of it because our enumerators will go past our count areas and they'll measure the circumference of the corn and then the length of the grain in it. And so early on. And then once we get in a dead stage, a mature stage, then we're starting to actually harvest ears and run them through our lab there in Springfield and getting weights to run into the models.
I have a question about the weights one more time. I know that it was in August last year you realized how big the crop was because of some of the objective samplings that you were doing, and that this year, as you said, the 125 may be skewed heavily to the heavy side simply because of last year's rolling, the five-year rolling average. But when you were getting not the objective but the subjective looks at those ears, what were people telling you about the fields across the state of Illinois, and whether those weights were there or not there, and how kernel filled they expected might come out?
Right. So, you hit on a good point there, because in addition to the objective yield survey, we actually do survey farmers, and the farmers, they're not, they're pessimistic. Last year was just that perfect year, but they're, down from last year, but, yet the farmer responses are supporting, supporting what we did, what we came in at with the 125.
Do you think, and there was some discussion here just a bit, and I don't know that you'll have an answer to this statistically or not, that the corn crop over the past 2 years has dealt with cool and wet weather in particular. But do you think that the very hot conditions that have been throughout the Midwest, not just the dry, but the very hot conditions, will have much of an impact?
It could. It could have, because it all depends on, does the corn have a chance to, recoup during the night and go on, and, will it take in the water, and will it completely fill out, and those sort of things. I mean, those are things that we're concerned about, and we, we'll be picking that up as we go through the season. But, in August, it's kind of tough, for everybody, trying to get started. I mean, the really good thing, the one good count we get out of it, and you guys know this too, is it's basically the plant count. That's the one good number, and we do have good plant count.
And what is it? Do you remember off the top of your head? Well, let me ask you another question. I don't think you can answer this, but I'll ask it anyway. If you had to say, if you had a bias, would you say that the 125 will go up or down in September?
I can't answer that question. No, you guys are pretty good. Okay, a month from now, we'll try this again, and I'll give you a good answer, okay?
Thank you much, Joe. Okay. Joe Persaki is the chief of the crops branch at USDA at NASS. Now, a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Matt Bennett.
Well, I'd like to say going into fall, I think, we're looking at probably an early low on corn. I think book your LDP, and on beans, if you don't have any sold right now, you may want to wait. You might market some of them now and then wait for a post-harvest bounce.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal.
As you get that machinery ready and get into the field there soon, be sure to be careful and don't be a dummy and get something cut off.
And we'll close out with Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign.
I think Friday's numbers kind of dealt us a blow in the case of corn, the yield, and in the case of the beans, the demand. So don't get married to the bushels that you're going to have to move in the fall.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Remember, you can hear it online or our podcast. And don't forget to join me next Thursday morning for Agronomy Day on the South Farms right here in Urbana-Champaign.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.